Matthew remembering, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, with Christ at work within him, remembering exactly what Jesus preached that day out in a field along the Sea of Galilee. And what Jesus preached is all about the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of God and what's required, what it is to be part of this kingdom that he brings. Blessed are you if you live this way. Remember and don't forget. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you hear my words and live them. You've heard others say this, but I'm telling you this. And on it goes. Words for life, words for living. Words that push hard and words that run contrary to how things often play out around us and even within us. Jesus says, here's a different way. Follow me and live. Follow me and what I say above any other voices. He began preaching by laying out a series of blessings, words of blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Eight statements of blessing. We call them the Beatitudes because that's the Latin word. It comes from the Latin word for blessing. Right on the heels of these eight statements of blessing, right on the heels of the Beatitudes, he gave these two "you are" descriptions. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And right there, before we unpack anything else, right there are two enormously bold statements. Jesus describes those who follow him as being people whose lives, whose impact can be upon the entire planet. People whose influence through him can reach into every inhabitable part of life. Us. You are the salt of the earth. The word for earth there means the whole globe, every part of terra firma. And you are the light of the world. And the word he used for world here is familiar to us. It's cosmos. You are the light of the cosmos. Earth, heaven, the heavens. Everything, everywhere, everyone. It is a very bold and expansive statement about who we are as his followers. That we can impact everything, everywhere, and everyone by his power and presence and truth at work within us and living out through us. That description sets the tone for everything else he says. It's no part-time vocation, no thing to just dabble in. It's for changing the earth, the cosmos, by having ourselves changed by him. So let's look at this passage. And as always, it's helpful to have it open in front of you, whether it's on your phone or tablet or in a paper Bible. It's just four verses that I'll read. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 13. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, cosmos. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus masterfully took things we make complex and put them into graspable, visible images. He did that here. If you're following me, you're like salt. If you do what I say, you're like light. Who doesn't know about salt and light? We all do, of course. So did the people on that day in Galilee. So salt, from life-sustaining sodium in our bodies and all that that does, to the saltiness of our sweat, the The salt we crave on popcorn, the salt we use to preserve foods, salt permeates, literally permeates every part of everyday life. Online I typed, uses for salt. And one site came up with 14,000 uses for salt. So listen as I read through the entire list. No, I won't do that. But here's some of what salt does. Soothes bee stings and poison ivy. Stops a grease fire. Cleans tarnished copper. Removes coffee stains from porcelain. It's used in tanning leather, bleaching, dyeing, pottery, and soap. Salt was such a precious commodity at one point that people were paid by it, paid with it, and therefore we have that word salary, which comes, is derived from the word for salt. There's even a 500-page best-selling book titled Salt, A World History. I haven't read it yet, but I'm intrigued by this. You are the salt of the earth, he said. Maybe it could be rephrased like this. You have a fundamental, vital role in life. You are necessary for life. By my power at work in you, with my words at the forefront, my spirit in you, you can help to preserve life and bring hope. You can soothe stings. You can put out fires. You're the means I've chosen for others to come to know me, and I remove the tarnish and the stains of sin from lives, including yours. You're the salt of the earth. As we heard it earlier when Rachel read it out of the message, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? What a great image of who we are, who we can be, in and through Christ. Salt bearers. So our kids passed out packets of salt. I don't know if everybody got one. I hope you did. What I'd like you to do, if you have one, is to open it. Open it up and take a little bit of that, just a little bit of that salt in your tongue. Let it light up your taste buds. A little bit of salt. It's a very familiar flavor, of course. And with that salt flavoring going on, now let's think about light, which is such a penetrating visual image, literally. Light, dark, day, night, sparkling, shadowed. We know all these contrasts. We know about days of light and days of darkness. Some of us have been one in one or the other or both for long stretches. Light and dark and all their gradations are central to seeing and to painting, and to photography, to theater and movies and TV shows. Our son-in-law, Andrew, has his career in this. He's a lighting guy for movies and TV shows. He's called a key grip, and he has everything to do with lighting on a set, whether the set is at outside on a Chicago street or in a dark studio, trying to capture faces and moods. Key grip or not, light is an all-the-time thing for all of us. Every sunrise, every sunset, every switch of a lamp, every backlit phone or computer we use, every stoplight, headlight, taillight, light. I wrote about this a few years ago in our church newsletter that at our family's cabin up in northern Michigan, I often paddle upstream in the evening. It's a quiet time of the day. It's a great time to go upstream. Sometimes I paddle back in the dark. And a number of years ago, Sid began doing a beautiful thing. She would light a candle in a lantern and bring it down to the end of the dock. When I come downstream after dusk, when the woods on each side of the river are completely dark, and I come around that last bend toward our dock, which is about a half mile away, I can see that little one-inch candlelight in the lantern. Now, it's hard to believe, but scientists have determined that if you factor out the curvature of the earth, a healthy human eye can see a one-inch candlelight. candle flame 30 miles away. Now, I don't know about 30 miles away. But I do know that what stirs in me when I see the light of that single one-inch flame at the end of our dock in the dark, what stirs in me is home, warmth, a place I am steadily moving toward with each paddle stroke. We are drawn to light, aren't we? Bugs are drawn to light. People are drawn to light. The whole world is drawn to light. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. He also said in John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light through whom we are given the light of life that we then share to the world. His light shining in us. The Apostle Paul put it this way. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. Wow. That's who we are. That's who we are. We who have given our lives to Christ, we are salt carriers and light bearers. Let's not forget that. Earlier, we heard a paraphrase of the message about how he described us. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God isn't a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, do you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. So how do we do this? Shine. How do we be salt and light, bringing out God flavors and God colors in this world? Well, I think often we make it way too complicated. Or we get fearful about not wanting to bring up religion. Religion and politics, no, let's not go there. Or we're hesitant not wanting to impose our views upon somebody else, especially if they might have a different perspective or disagree. Or we hold our relationship with Jesus so privately that we get in the habit of not ever talking about it with anybody, especially not a stranger or a neighbor. Maybe not trusting that God could use even us in ways beyond us. Maybe what Jesus intended here can be condensed down to this, to three L's. Listen, learn, and live. Listen, learn, and live. Listen to what I say. Learn from me about what's most vital, and then live it. Listen, learn, and live. If you know me and have heard, read, listened to, absorbed my words, welcome my presence, then live it openly. Help others to come to know me too. Talk about me. Let them see that I really am making a difference in your life, like salt flavoring a steak, like light lighting up a dark room. Be that, do that, be salt, be light, shine. Here's a brief story I shared years ago here. Once when I was about to catch a flight from Baltimore, my bag got pulled from the line for whatever reason. A guy with a badge came up and began unzipping it and going through it. And what do? You wait and you watch. And I saw he had a ring on his finger that had an ichthus, the Christian shape of a fish that used to be a code for early Christians. And I said, I like your ring. I know that symbol. And without pausing at all in his search through my bag, he said something like, yeah, I wear that ring to remind me who I am and who I serve. You know, there are a lot of powerful things in this world, and there are a lot of dangerous things in this world. And this is part of what I'm doing. I'm looking for dangerous, powerful things. But I belong to one who does life-giving, powerful things, like forgiveness and new life. So I wear this ring, and it reminds me about that. And occasionally people ask me about the ring, and it gives me an opportunity to tell them about who I serve. And then he zipped up my bag and said, have a nice day. Wow, he was doing it. Right there at BWI in a baggage line with people stacked up behind him. It wasn't canned. It wasn't forced. He didn't get nervous. He just talked about it. At a conference a number of years ago, a pastor friend of mine and I went to a Starbucks at the beginning of the day, before the day began rolling, just to have some quiet time in that white noise of the Starbucks. And my friend had his Bible on the table with his cup of coffee, just quietly reading. And some guy came walking by and stood next to him in kind of a sarcastic posture and tone, snarky. He said, "Oh, Bible, huh?" My friend just looked up at him and said something like this, "Yeah, it is, but what I'm reading changed my life. It changed me from going in a very dark direction to a hopeful direction. And I need to keep my head in this every day because there's so much in me that gets drawn back the other way. I don't want to go there again." And this guy shifted from sarcastic to curious. His posture changed. And he asked, "Well, what kind of dark things? How long have you been at it? Is it hard to keep on the right path?" And they talked for a few minutes, and then the guy said, "Thanks, man. I appreciate your honesty. Have a good day." Off he went. Now, who knows what kind of impact that had on this guy's life? Only God does. But my friend was doing it. He was being salt and light in a very open, honest, winsome way. No canned speech, just talking about what Jesus did in his life. It's part of my own story of faith. Seeing people living with a whole different ethic, a level of compassion, depth, and direction that was so different from what I saw everywhere else as I was a long way away from Christ and the church. And it was through them that I was pointed back to Jesus and even to this very Sermon on the Mount, the first place I began reading as I was coming back to faith. It's all part of my re-entry into life in Christ. People being salt and light in very real ways. With words and actions, with love and humility, making a difference in the midst of ordinary life. Salt and light. Salt and light is what happens through our closet of hope. But not just once a month. On other days too, it happens sometimes very discreetly. A touch of salt here, a turning up of the light there. There's a need, a trauma, an emergency, often under the radar. Can we help with some clothes? Could somebody come in privately? Could we maybe also help with a gas card or some benevolent funds? Yes, yes. Salt and light. And wounded, fearful, discouraged, sometimes despairing people are treated with dignity and with love. Not as others who should go somewhere else for help. Not as others whose problems are, oh well, too bad. Not as others, but as sisters and brothers. As people who, by God's grace, may taste God's flavor in us. May see the light of Christ flickering here among us. Salt and light in a world where there are so many things that wash out the taste of grace. So many things that work against the light of Christ. And we know some of those. We know a lot of those. This is salt and light stuff. It's day-to-day life lived openly, humbly, but also confidently as followers of Jesus. Like the baggage inspector at BWI. Or my friend with the Bible at Starbucks. Or like what goes on here through Closet of Hope and English language learning and mentoring and the inviting welcome I hope that everybody always receives whenever they come into this building. Salt and light. It's having our inside encounters with Jesus and our outside words and actions in all sorts of circumstances with all sorts of people. It's having inside and outside completely integrated by the power of Jesus. sprinkled with salt, filled with light. And it's all about him. This is what he intends us to bring into every setting and every situation. It's what he preached. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now let your light shine before others so that they will see your life and give glory to God. So I want us to pray together. But before I do, I'd like to invite you, if you have it, to take a little bit more of that salt. Not to throw off your body chemistry, but just a little touch of the salt. Let it light up your taste buds. And as we pray, rather than closing your eyes, would you spot a light? Maybe a particular spot on our stained glass? Just one area to focus on. Or maybe one of the candle lights up here. Salt. Light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you know where we live and how we spend our days, where our minds go, how our hearts are drawn this way and that. And I pray for all of us, for each of us, that we would increasingly be most alert to you with the flavor of salt and the illumination of light so tasteful and tangible. Help us to absorb what it means to be salt and light in this world. At those unique and poignant times, and also simply in our regular dailiness. Help us to live into, to trust more deeply what Paul writes about your light shining in our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of God's glory shown through you. Bless us, guide us, inhabit us, protect us, and may nothing we do and nothing we are part of have anything to do with what is dark or tasteless. Nothing that moves contrary to your ways and your grace. And Lord, we pray again this morning for those in need, that they'd be touched by your grace, your power, your healing, in particular Kimberly. And for anyone here today who is remote from you, or who has never offered their lives to the wonder of life with you, Lord, I pray that this would be the day, that this might be the time of being drawn so much closer to you, knowing the depth of meaning and life that comes only by your grace. Move among all of us, we pray, as light, as salt. We pray all of this in your holy and precious name.